Chapter 5, South Carolina's First 60 Years. Chapter Preview, People. Henry Woodward, King Charles II, Anthony Ashley Cooper, Lord Ashley, John Locke, Joseph West, John Yeamans, William Sale, King James II, William and Mary, James Moore, Nathaniel Johnson, Thomas Nairn, Edward Teach, Blackbeard, William Rhett, Stede Bonnet, King George I. Place: Charlestown, Barbados, Albemarle Point, Oyster Point. Terms: Lords of Trade, Mercantilism, Smuggling, Royalist, Lords Proprietors, Fundamental Constitutions of Carolina, Dissenter, Huguenots, Quit Rent, Indigo, Naval Stores, Council, Commons House of Assembly, General Assembly, Glorious Revolution, Carolina Gold, Church Act of 1706, Board of Indian Commissioners. One of the first English settlers in South Carolina lived an exciting life. His name was Henry Woodward. We first learn of him when he was part of an expedition to explore the Port Royal area for the new owners of Carolina in 1666. The explorers made friends with the natives of the area. When the expedition sailed on, Woodward decided to stay with the Indians, learn from them, and absorb their culture. After making many friends and learning several languages, he apparently was captured by Spaniards and taken to St. Augustine. But he escaped and managed to board an English ship when it attacked the city in 1668. Apparently he was well educated because he became the ship's doctor. More adventures followed. The ship wrecked a year later on the Caribbean island of Nevis. There he joined the first group of permanent English settlers traveling by ship to Carolina, and it's a good thing he did. With his knowledge of the languages and cultures, he helped the Charlestown settlers develop friendly relations with the Indians. He helped arrange for food during the first 3 years of scarcity. He made treaties with tribes and developed trade agreements that got the settlers off to a good start. Woodward's diplomatic skills were essential for the survival of the little colony at Charlestown. Section 1. Preparations for the Settlement of Carolina. As you read, look for how England's expanding influence around the world shaped the founding of the Carolina colony, the importance of mercantilism in building England's empire, the gift of Carolina to the Lords Proprietors, the lasting effects of the Fundamental Constitutions, terms: Lords of Trade, Mercantilism, Smuggling, Royalist, Lords Proprietors, Fundamental Constitutions of Carolina, Dissenter. The first settlement of Carolina in 1670 was not an isolated event. In the years surrounding that event, England was engaged in a whirlwind of activity that related to her colonies. She was at war with the Netherlands during the 1660s. This is when England seized ownership of New Netherland and made it New York. In the Caribbean, King Charles II granted the Bahama Islands to a group of proprietors. In Canada, the Hudson's Bay Company was founded in 1670. In India, the English East India Company took control of the city and port of Bombay. King Charles established the Lords of Trade to try to govern these growing colonial activities more effectively. The policy of mercantilism. The mission of the Lords of Trade was to manage the colonies and make them profitable to England. This was part of a policy of government-regulated economic nationalism called mercantilism. The idea of mercantilism was that colonies existed to contribute to the wealth and power of the mother nation. They should provide food products and raw materials to England. The colonies should be a market to buy goods made in England and only England. This trade should be carried in English ships, thus strengthening the nation's merchant fleet and Royal Navy. This policy was, in theory, to work well both for the colonies and for England. The colonies would be protected by a strong empire and would have easy access to English markets. The restriction on the colonies' trade with other nations were sometimes harmful to the settlers. However, for many decades, that did not matter very much. The colonists were good at smuggling, illegal trade with other countries, and the English were not very good at stopping it. The Chartering of Carolina. Charles II was a new king in 1660, having come to the throne in an unusual way. His father, Charles I, had been overthrown and beheaded in 1649 in a revolution led by the Puritan Oliver Cromwell. When Cromwell died, the Royalists, supporters of the monarchy, restored the royal family to power. Charles II owed his crown to these powerful men. He had little money but lots of land in America. Carolina was a thank-you gift to eight of these English royalist lords. The grant in 1663 gave the eight lords proprietors and their heirs all the land in America between 29 degrees north and 36 degrees 30 minutes north. That would be all the land between a point south of Daytona Beach, Florida, and the southern border of Virginia, from the Atlantic to the Pacific Ocean. Of course, the grant gave no consideration to prior claims to the land by Native Americans. It also ignored Spain's claims and her 100-year-old town of St. Augustine. The grant required that all Carolina laws were to be made with the consent of the free settlers. That clause would give plenty of trouble to the proprietors in the future. The Fundamental Constitutions of Carolina. The lords proprietors were among the top aristocrats, noblemen, in England. Born into families with large land holdings, they were convinced that the power to govern comes from the ownership of property. To guide the government in Carolina, the proprietors prepared the Fundamental Constitutions of Carolina. This remarkable document was mainly the work of one proprietor, Anthony Ashley Cooper, called Lord Ashley, assisted by his personal physician and secretary, John Locke. It placed the proprietors, who all lived in England, at the top rank of leadership. In the second rank was to be a local aristocracy of large landowners in Carolina. The third rank was composed of all other property owners in the colony. Non-property owners were not to have a vote or influence in their government. While the Fundamental Constitutions gave landowners the authority to rule, the document included the ideal of protecting the rights of other citizens. This ideal was not always achieved for white people. As for black people, the document stated that free men should have absolute power and authority over his Negro slaves. Another selling point that was used to attract settlers from Europe was the promise of freedom of religion to almost anyone who believed in God. Several nations with official, government-supported churches persecuted dissenters, those who disagreed with the official church. Lasting effects. The Fundamental Constitutions were never formally adopted as the Constitution of the colony, so those ideals were never binding. Still, the aristocratic tone it set has had a rippling effect down through the centuries. The principle was well established that more property meant more influence. On the other hand, local participation in government and the effort to protect the rights of all freedmen allowed the growth of some democratic practices over the years. The protection of religious freedom has survived and has expanded to any religion or to the rejection of religion. Do you remember? 1. Define in sentence form mercantilism, smuggling, dissenter. 2. Which two men were largely responsible for the Fundamental Constitutions of Carolina? 3. Why were the ideals of the Fundamental Constitutions never binding on the Carolina colonists.